This morning we're going to talk about a gift that we can be, that we can give. And it's also a gift that this Chinese church for 80 years has given. And what that means is that we are a people who open our schedules, open our life, open up our homes to welcome and to love people. And so this morning, the Gospel of Matthew 25, 31 to 46, there's a message of welcoming and hospitality that I think that we as Christians model.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right,
"Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me."
Then the righteous will answer him,
"Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?"
The king will reply,
"Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
Then he will say to those on the left,
"Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me."
They also will answer,
"Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?"
He will reply,
"Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me."
Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Thank you. Thank you. Very tough scripture, isn't it? It's a hard one. And it's something that we're going to look at briefly this morning. Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. And in this text, I want to look at two different features of it. First, some theological ideas. And theology is an important word. St. Augustine defines theology as reasoning or discussion concerning the deity, which really means teaching about the nature and the character of God. The other theme here that we see is this hint that the reign of God, the rule of God, means that we are different people. We are special people. We do things in such a way that lives are impacted, that we are very different from many in this world that we live, because we are hospitable. We are people who give and help the poor. The background of the text that we read is also found in chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew. And 24 and 25 of Matthew contains five parables, and this is the fifth parable that we've read. Parables are stories told by Jesus to get a singular point across, usually, getting a simple point across to communicate a big idea. These are called the parables of the parousia, and parousia in the ancient language means presence or arrival or official visit. They are about the reign of God here among us, how God lives among us and how we as his servants live. But they also reflect on the future and what God is like as he comes again. The placement of these parables is quite interesting also, because this is right before the plot thickens against Jesus Christ, right before he is thrown into the last days before his crucifixion. So when Matthew put his gospel together, he placed all of these five parables together at the end. And there's a theme that is consistent throughout, and it is the theme of surprise. These parables point us toward eternal truth. They give us hope, and the message is be ready. Be ready for Christ. Be ready for the return of the Lord. As Christians, our hope is not a pie in the sky kind of thing where we just have this thought that maybe God will come and intervene into this existence. But we have our hope, which is rooted in the incarnation, the fact that Jesus Christ came into this world. He came into our lives as we've given our lives to him. Our hope is rooted in the character of God. Our God is not a God who plays around, a capricious God. Our God has a purpose and a design and a plan for each one of our lives. He has a purpose and a plan. Our hope is rooted in our own personal surrender to the living God, our surrender to him to make him the Lord of our life and to change us, to equip us with a new DNA. I remember when I first became a Christian. I was in the army many, many years ago, and I used to curse. I mean, I'm not saying cursing will keep you out of heaven. You're lucky there. But I used to be terrible, and I don't know where I picked it up. God did a miracle in my life when I got converted. Boom. I stopped cursing. I mean, it was hard for me not to curse. But when I became a believer, something happened. And for everybody who chooses to follow Jesus Christ, things begin to change in your life to create in you a new dynamic that allows you to be called a child of God. We are his sheep, not his goats. And the proof of that is in how we treat the least of these. When we come to Jesus, we can't continue to be not generous, inhospitable. We can't continue to be the scoundrels that we were. We have to have a change, because if we continue in those same paths, we're in trouble, because we will have a dark surprise ahead. The power of God has to transform us and change us. And as Christians, we continually have the opportunity to repent and come to God and to ask him to change us. The parables also remind me of the Old Testament, because there are many Old Testament themes in the parables. It is unbelievable. And we just had a Sunday school class, and we talked about Amos. And it is so similar to what Jesus is talking about in these parables. We are saved not by our works, though. So if we are a great, hospitable person, that doesn't make us a believer. Because Paul says we're justified by our faith, not by works. And Jesus said that we need to be born again, born from above. One of the poets, musicians I like is Johnny Cash. And I'm going to read a little bit from Johnny Cash, one of his songs. It's called God's Gonna Cut You Down. And it sounds like this parable. It sounds as harsh as this parable. This is what Johnny Cash says. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. And that's so true for all of us. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's going to cut him down. Tell him that God's going to cut him down. Well, you may throw your rock and hide your hand. That's a wonderful picture. You throw the rock out the window and hide your hand. I didn't do it. Working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's down in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. This kind of message is not popular today. We don't like to hear that we're going to be cut down. Does anyone like to hear that? No, we don't. But that's the message that Jesus gave here when he's talking about separating the sheep from the goats. We live in a time of super tolerance and freedom, license to do what you feel good about. Today, people are reluctant to tell you that you're on the road to destruction because they don't want to be accused of judging you. These texts, however, point us to the right way. There's five parables in Matthew chapter 24, 4 to 25, 30. And these texts talk about the nature of God and also what right relationship with God is all about. Even if your theology is correct and you have a membership card stamped, you can still be lost and far from God. You have to be ready. And that's the message today. You look at a grazing field from afar, and the sheep and the goats look all alike, don't they? But when Christ returns, he will separate the goats from the sheep. The sheep on the right, the place of honor. The goats on the left, the place of disgrace. Let's look at the four parables that come before this one. There's the parable of the thief in the night. And just understand, the theme is be ready. The theme is surprise. These five parables do this to us. This is the thief in the night, an owner's faced with a possible thief. Keep watch, be ready. And Jesus says, so you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And then the parable of the disorderly or exploiting servants, taking advantage of the master. When the master shows up at an hour that is unexpected, the parable says he will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the parable of the 10 virgins. Anybody remember that one? The 10 virgins? The 10 virgins, five had their candles, their lamps ready and burning, and they had enough oil. The other five didn't have enough. And they said, can we have some of your oil? And they said, no, because we'll run out. So the five that didn't have enough oil went out. But the door was shut, and they couldn't get back in. And the Bible tells us there was weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And then the parable of the talents. This morning we saw about the good person, the person who invested the talents well in the stewardship text that Charles had us read. But there's another person there, another servant. He went out and he buried his money, and there was no profit. It was not invested. And what does the scripture say? The master said, throw that worthless servant out into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Surprise! This reminds me one time when I was in college in Texas. I had a professor who was a world-known missionary professor. They were going on to India, him and his wife, and they said, Don, you're a good student. We want you to watch our house. And I said, wow, I don't have to pay rent. And at that time, I worked at Central Freight Lines in Dallas, unloading semi-trucks full of black tires in the summer. I also took classes in the evening. I was busy. And somehow I forgot when they were coming back. And in the living room, there was 2 weeks' worth of dirty clothing piled in the middle. 2 weeks of dishes sitting in the sink. And I heard a knock on the door. Boom, boom. And oh, Mr. Dr. McDermott, you're here. I was so embarrassed. Has anyone ever been embarrassed like that? Part of what this text wants to do, it wants us to understand we don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be shocked by the return of God. We should strive to be ready. Strive to develop those spiritual disciplines. And look at our life. Are we people of gratitude? Are we people of caring? Are we people of love? Can we do more? Tara, anybody have an experience like that? I'm just curious. Okay? It's a terrible experience, believe me. I will never forget it to the point of when I die. I will never forget it. And I even met him one time, and I didn't want to remind him. I was so ashamed. So this parable of the sheep and the goats, there's a theological aspect to it, but there's also a behavioral, practical aspect. And the theological, I want to touch on that briefly because there are some important theological points here. The Son of Man will come as God Almighty, and he possesses the glory of God. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. The title for Jesus here is the Son of Man. And most of us, we think of Son of God, but actually Son of Man in the New Testament is more popular than Son of God. Son of God is indicating that he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Savior. And over 70 times in the New Testament, we see this term. And we see here that he comes in such a way that clearly indicates that he is divine. He is God. The angels will be with him. He will sit in his glorious throne. For those who want Jesus, who's a soft-spoken prophet, a wise man who doesn't ruffle feathers, this is not the picture of the Jesus they want. This Jesus comes in power. And it shows Christ returning in his glory, speaking with authority. Secondly, the Son of Man comes to us in disguise. The people are speaking, and they didn't notice that the Son of Man came. And so when the pronouncement is given, they say something like this, "For I was hungry." Jesus says this, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And they didn't even know that they had done this. That's how we should be. We should help people. And if they were Jesus, they would come back and they would say, "You know, you really helped me. You really blessed my life." And because it's in our DNA to be people of God and to live and to behave like people of God, because it's in our DNA, we may even have missed that we did a good deed. You know, in our society, everybody wants to raise their hand and say they did a good deed. Everybody wants to get acknowledgement from government or society. "Look, oh, I'm a good person." But what Jesus is looking for is that innate, natural capacity to help and to love others. Thirdly, the Son of Man will judge. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. This Jesus Christ, despised, persecuted, hated, is the one who will judge. So let me ask you, are you a sheep or a goat? Have you surrendered to God? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior, committed yourself to Him so that when you sin, you ask Him to forgive you? Or are you a scoundrel still, loving your sin, living like the devil, bound by addictions and hatreds and arrogance? If you're a goat, you have a tragic future. But if you're a sheep, hopefully everybody in church is a sheep. If you're a sheep, you will be with Christ. The Bible tells us that He will come to judge all people. That word is ethne, which means it's the word we have ethnic from. In other words, Jew and Gentile, the secular-hearted and the religious, all people, as Christians we believe, gambler and non-gambler, the sinner and the saint, the wine-bibber, the glutton, Mother Teresa and the Mao Zedong, the pagan, the Catholic, the Protestant, you and me, we are all going to stand before the living God. There is equal opportunity salvation. Do you know that? I believe in equal opportunity. Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's the sheep. On the flip side, you can say the same thing. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you all will be called the goat if you're a goat. What's interesting about this text, too, is that there's a sense of judgment to it, but it's not a court room, but there is a sense there. We don't see any debate. We don't see any witnesses called. We don't see an attorney. But the destiny is written all over the identity of the goat or the sheep. A goat can't change itself. Really? God can change a goat. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So what are we doing? We need to be helping people. We need to be hospitable, touching lives of others as Christians. That is our DNA. And I think that Chinese Community Church, you have been doing this for many years. I'm very impressed with what I see taking place, people inviting and welcoming people. That's what our calling is. My third point and last one is this: hospitality. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." That's verse 40. 45. He will reply again, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, I'm not going to talk about the eternal punishment in this text, because really, in the text, it's not the major focus. The major focus is being ready, and it's the dynamic of giving hospitality and help to those in your life, surrounding you. That's what we're called to do. That is our Christian calling. So, Chinese church, this morning, I encourage you to look in your own life and think if you can be hospitable to people. If there are people that you might want to bring into your home, people you might want to give time. We have a meal after this worship service. That's hospitable. That's a wonderful thing. We have greeters who greet new people and love new people. We have facility managers, Andre and Kevin, who are wonderful, friendly, greeting people. We have cooks, and we have people who are not cooks. So those of you who are not cooks, show a little hospitality and volunteer to serve. We have people who strike up conversations in the metro. I'm one of those people. If I'm in a metro, I will talk to people. I'll give them a card. I'm like this. Now, I look at my wife. I get to say, no, don't say anything. I won't say, can I say something? Josephine is a hospitable person when it comes to food. She makes food for people. She loves that. We were just talking in the car about that. So we normally have a rule, and you have to like be on my side today because that was a good illustration. I am never supposed to bring her into my sermon, right? So I apologize, but in this case, I brought you in. There it is. And then we have the Chinese Service Center. I think Shirley's the director. Where is she at? She's hiding. Over many years, that is an awesome ministry of this church. I purchased some cards, some invitation cards, and I put them in the back. So when you leave, I encourage you to grab a handful of invitation cards to give to people that you may meet who might want to come to the Chinese church. I encourage you to do that today. Let us pray. Lord, I think of the life song that we sang. Let our life song be a song of hospitality, a song of welcoming, a song of hope, a song of love, a song of joy. Help us, Lord, to be people who are not surprised by your sudden appearance, and yet, Lord, to know that we have walked with you to such a degree that our DNA wants to give and to show hospitality to others. And Lord, if we are people kind of thinking that we might be a little goatish, Lord, help us to begin to take steps toward being caring, hospitable people. To have that DNA of Jesus Christ in our life that is a DNA of giving and sacrifice and surrender. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.